Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
You are welcome one more time to the Art of Shepherding chat room. This is where you get to have deep conversations about the ministry and about shepherding. And tonight, as usual, I can promise you that you're about to have a fantastic time. If you've been watching over the weeks, God bless you. Thank you for staying with us. I want you to make sure that you watch this program through to the end. Enjoy through to the end. It's going to be 90 minutes of beautiful revelation about shepherding and about the work of the ministry. And whilst you are here with us, I want you to be sure to like this page, to subscribe to the page, and to share the stream with all your friends. You know where you do your sharing, so I don't have to tell you. I'll take a quick break, and then I'll be right back. Welcome back, and this is the Art of Shepherding chat room. It's a chat room, so here we take questions, our comments flow, and then we bounce things off each other. But at the end of it, you can be sure that great revelation gets thrown around. You get to share great things, you get to hear great things, and we all learn beautiful, beautiful truths and secrets for our ministry and for shepherding the flock that God has given to us. So I want you to stay with us, I want you to like it, I want you to share it, and I want you to subscribe to the page. Make sure that you're a part of what God is doing through this very beautiful program. Tonight, we have a very, very interesting discussion. I can promise you that once we start, you won't be able to stop. But before we get there, I want to bring you a little bit of music to set you in the mood. You know how we do it. Tonight, we are listening to First Love Music, and the track we have tonight is titled Love is Patient. It's by Asida and Albert. So I want you to relax. You have a cup of tea or something, you can grab it. Enjoy the music, and we'll be right back, and then the revelations will begin to flow.
I have been learning to walk in love. It is not easy to walk in love. The fruit of the Spirit is walking in love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Oh my God, please help me to walk in love and to forget. Oh, it's not easy, but I can make it. For love is patient and love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not proud. It's not unbecoming. Love does not boast. Love does not seek its own. For love is patient and love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast. Learning. I'm Father abideth, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Oh, love. Can I attain to it? Without love, all of my prayers are nothing. Without love, my giving is nothing. Without love, my tongues are nothing. Oh, love is the greatest. Because love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealous, and love is not easily provoked. Love is not proud, it's not unbecoming. Love does not boast, love does not seek its own. For love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealous, love does not boast. For love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealous, love does not boast.
And love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not proud. It's not unbecoming. Love does not boast. Love does not seek its own. For love is patient. And love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast.
Love is patient. It's kind. Love is kind. Not jealous.
So we're back. That was Love is Patient featuring Asida and Albert. Good music. And I would advise you to find First Love Music wherever you can find it. You can find it on any of the streaming platforms, the music streaming platforms, whether it's Apple Music, whether it's Spotify, whichever one you choose. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find it. But it'll be on it. It's just to find it. It's good music. It's spiritual music. And I can tell you that it will really help your spirit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the part which is the meaty part of the matter. And I'm happy to tell you that tonight we have with us one more time the person who downloads all these fantastic revelations for us and really knocks the game out of the ballpark. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, one more time, we have Bishop Edwin Ogo. Bishop, welcome tonight, Bishop.
Thank you so much.
It's Bishop a Kobe. Blessing to have you. I've been getting calls from the strangest people about the revelations that are downloading. I keep telling them that, relax, we haven't gotten anywhere yet. We've just taken off. So you're welcome one more time.
It's a blessing.
And it's a blessing to be here.
It's a blessing to be here. I want to really thank God for this season of the Art of Shepherding Chatroom. It's very powerful. I've also been receiving messages and, you know, calls from people who watch, and I think it's blessing them.
Yeah.
And for that alone, I really want to thank God for the life of my father and pastor, Bishop Dagwood Mills.
The author of the book.
This is a masterpiece, The Art of Shepherding. It's a very powerful book that I believe will really turn your life around if you really have the call of God to be a pastor, the call of God to be a shepherd, someone who cares for another person, one person, two Christians. That makes you a shepherd. A shepherd is also a sheep who has matured enough to care for another person. And I really want to thank God that he has blessed us with this wonderful book, which is really the center and the focus of our discussions, The Art of Shepherding. This book, The Art of Shepherding. And I want to encourage you to get it and come along with us as we have sessions that cover wonderful chapters from this book. So, Bishop Kobe, thank you for creating this wonderful atmosphere for us to also have the chance to learn and to teach, to ask questions, to clarify things, because the shepherding work is a very beautiful job.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful job. And I think that if I wasn't the one in this seat, I would still say what I'm saying, that this is a very major resource for anyone God has called to be a shepherd.
I believe so.
And I want to say a big thank you also for the great work you are doing.
We just love it. We love the insights that you give. I mean, I would say that anybody who's watching this program ought to watch with a notebook and a pen, really, because there are so many things that you're sharing with us that are really, really insightful, and they really break things down. And as you were speaking, it just occurred to me that in every other field, people will train themselves, they'll learn what they must do, and it must be the same with pastoring.
Oh, yes.
That we must understand that in order to carry out the work that, last week, one of the things you said was that one of the most complex jobs in this world is the job of pastoring people and shepherding people.
Yes.
And I believe that we really must have a mind that we are doing something complex, much like a jet plane pilot goes through a lot of schooling.
You've nailed it.
And is very meticulous about his job. That's how a pastor ought to find all the information he can find all the knowledge that he can find in order to carry out his work well. So this chat room is really something that I think, I mean, I watch it myself. I mean, as we sit here, I sometimes hear some of the things and I'm like, gosh, it's never occurred to me before.
Wow.
And I believe that for all of us, it's making us better shepherds and better pastors. So I really thank you, Bishop.
And I also want to thank the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's the teacher. Yeah. He's the teacher. And his guidance is what brings us the fresh light we enjoy in these very powerful sessions we've had. So if you are watching, I want to welcome you also. You are using your time well.
That's right.
By being a part of this Art of Shepherding chat room.
Oh, yes.
If somebody sent you this link, I want you to say thank you to the person, because you will never regret a minute spent in this very powerful forum that God has blessed us with. And if it's possible for you to send this link to someone, to call someone, tell the person that an amazing resource has just flooded the internet, and tell the person that God is speaking and the Spirit is speaking expressly. Invite your friends, your pastor friends, your shepherd friends, serious Christians, believers, anyone you know who has the care of other Christians as his work, the choir leader, the head of the ashes, the head of the dancing stars, anything, any group, anyone who cares for other people must be on board. And I believe that God has used us to come to you. He must use you to go to somebody else.
That's right.
Yeah. And to more people also. So God bless you. And I think Bishop Kobe will help us to roll.
Yes. I mean, I can't wait. Last week, Bishop, we began talking about shepherding assignments.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. We began talking about shepherding assignments and the fact that a shepherd has a particular set of tasks that God has put into.
Good.
These are not optional. They are assignments, much as in school, you are required to carry out your assignment. So are shepherds required to carry out their assignments. And last week, we talked about a particular assignment.
Yes.
And this week, I want us to look at another assignment.
Yes.
And if you go to chapter 20 of the book, you see the shepherding assignment to guide and to lead.
Excellent.
Shepherding assignment to guide
That's
and to lead.
Chapter 20 of the Art of Shepherding.
Yes.
It's a very short chapter.
Seemingly.
But it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful because really guiding and leading is at the heart of pastoring.
Yeah.
I mean, a pastor guides and leads. I mean, ultimately, the work a pastor does is to lead the members, to guide the members. And if you remember Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." So that is right there. We have the template of
shepherding.
Yeah. You know, and I believe that if God leads us and guides us, then we who are shepherds must also lead and guide. Exodus chapter 13, verse 15. I like the New Living Translation. Let me read the Exodus 15 verse 13. The New Living Translation says, Exodus 15, 13. It says, "With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home."
Beautiful.
What a beautiful
scripture.
Verse.
Beautiful scripture.
What a beautiful verse. "With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed.
Beautiful.
In your might, you guide them to your sacred home."
Wow.
So that is the summary of God's work he does in our lives. Remember, this is Exodus, the journey from bondage to the promised land.
Yeah.
And we are also journeying from our bondages to the promised land. And God, who is our shepherd, also with his unfailing love, he's also leading the people he has redeemed from Egypt. And in his might, he is guiding them to his sacred home, his destination. So a shepherd leads from bondage and guides them to a destination. And anyone who is a shepherd must understand that your work is to guide and to lead. That's the shepherd.
I mean, as usual, you set the tone for us beautifully. It just occurred to me as you were speaking that one of the major manifestations that Israel had of God in their time of being led out of bondage was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire.
Exactly.
That which is were it. Both meant to guide.
To lead and to guide.
To lead and to guide them.
And it was so powerful that Moses said, "If your presence
does not go,
if this cloud does not accompany us, I will not move."
Beautiful.
So that is it. So if you are a shepherd, thank you very much. Let's clap our hands for Bishop Kobe's point he's making. Yeah, because you see, when you are a shepherd, you need to have this. If you are a shepherd, you must have this mind that your members, your sheep, cannot take a step if you are not with them. And how many sheep have entered into danger? How many sheep have strayed into disasters?
Yeah.
Simply because we were not there to lead and to guide. As a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day.
By day.
So a shepherd, a pastor, today we are talking about your assignment and your assignment as a pastor. Please, I hope you are watching carefully. I hope you are listening very well. Yes, we came to talk to you.
That's right.
It's a chat room, but God is speaking to you.
That's right.
Because sometimes you may not be very well informed about your role.
Yeah.
There are people who carry titles and don't know what they must do with the title. Husbands don't know how to behave as husbands. As for wives, I don't want to make a comment about that. Drivers don't know how to drive. Doctors are giving intravenous gases. Leaders of nations don't know how to lead. Gardeners don't know how to plant and to prune and to beautify the environment. There are people who are carrying titles and they have no clue how to, you know, ply their trade. How to carry on with their work. And if you are a pastor and you are a shepherd, I do not want you to join those groups. You must rather be a good pastor, a good shepherd. You know, and that is why today we are discussing the assignment of a shepherd is to lead and to guide. That is what God wants us to do. And anything outside this makes you an unfortunate experience for a sheep.
Beautiful. I think that you are spot on, Bishop. You are spot on. And for those who haven't noticed, the foundational scripture for these shepherding assignments, Psalm 23, you know, the entire Psalm 23. So you can study it in your spare time. I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to you as well. But like Bishop said, Psalm 23 provides a very, very good template of who and what a shepherd should be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who exactly. And if you go back to the chapter 20 where we are having this discussion from, there are five. Bishop teaches us some five powerful reasons to guide and to lead.
That's right.
See, and the first is that a shepherd must lead his sheep by still waters. That is it, which is Psalm 23, verse 2. A shepherd must lead the sheep by still waters. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Point number two, he said, a shepherd must lead his sheep to green pastures. So these are very important. If a sheep does not find green pastures, it means he has not been led there.
That's right.
If your sheep, Mr. Pastor Man, Mr. Shepherd Man, if your sheep have not found still waters, it means you have not guided them there.
That's right.
Very, very important. And you see, one of the things I want to say, am I allowed to teach at this time?
Yes.
I can teach?
You can teach.
All right. Then, okay. All right. If I'm allowed to teach, then I want to teach you something that there is a very important mind you must have as a shepherd about sheep. I'm dropping this right here. Something very powerful you must know about sheep. And it is that the easiest thing for sheep to do is to go astray.
Wow.
Yes. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the King James Version, and you will see it on the screen soon. It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this is Isaiah, and he's saying that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. So I want to say to all of us today that one characteristic of sheep is that they easily go astray.
Easily
go astray. So anybody who is tending sheep, and I'm sure you know that we believers are the sheep of his pasture. Anyone who is caring for believers in any capacity must know that the people you are caring for are not horses, they are not cats, they are not lizards, they are not donkeys, they are not oxen, they are sheep. And the first thing to know about sheep is that they get lost.
They go astray.
They go astray. So with this mind, your responsibility to lead must be top on the list of differential options. Your responsibility to guide. So any sheep you know who is lost because a shepherd failed to do his work. Very important. Any sheep you know who is lost because a shepherd failed to do his work. Wow. That is why God is speaking to someone here that your members need leadership. They need leading. Yeah. And they need guidance and guiding. Yeah. And if you don't provide them with the guidance, they will go astray. You know, Jesus told this is a parable or story of this man who had 100 sheep.
Yeah.
Matthew 18, verse 12. You see right there, Matthew 18. That a shepherd, he said, how think he, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray. So notice right there, that one of them goes astray. So the word astray is a very important word. Every shepherd must know that your sheep, he said, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Verse 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. So sheep go astray. And your work, your role as a leader, as a shepherd, is to guide them, to guide them. So today, our conversation is about how to guide the sheep God has given you, the 3 sheep, the 7 sheep, the 20 sheep, the 100 sheep, to guide them and to lead them. And I believe that God is going to bless you in this amazing chat room conversation we have.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And you know, Bishop, it's interesting that, I mean, as you speak again, just like the last time, it dawns on me more and more that the work of shepherding is something to be done very intricately, something that must be done at close range, something that must be done one-on-one. Because I don't think that a pastor can classify his preaching on Sundays as a major tool to guide.
It's not a major tool at all.
Yeah.
Because Jesus also did not place much value on the things he said to 5,000 people.
Yeah.
But he always attended to the individuals and the small groups and the few 12 and the, and you know, and so that is the point you are making, and I feel led to emphasize a point that shepherding and caring for sheep is so complex, you know, that a shepherd cannot distance himself from his sheep. You know, the very notion of leading and guiding suggests closeness. You must be close. When you are leading, you are ahead, but you are close. You must be in view. You must not be out of the view of the sheep. Otherwise, you are not leading them. So any shepherd whose sheep, any pastor whose members don't see him in the very area they are supposed to operate in and in the very things they are supposed to do has failed. Yes, whatever your members will do, they must do it looking at you. That's how to lead. So if you are an absentee pastor, you are an invisible leader. You are like a Bluetooth wireless leader. That is not, it may be modern, Bluetooth may be modern.
Remote.
But there's nothing like remote sensing shepherding. You got to be close, baby. You got to be close. Wow. You must be near.
Beautiful.
Yes. Beautiful. You must be near. Beautiful. Because, you know, sheep are tender. They even human beings as sheep or as Christians, we have problems.
Yeah.
We enter into complex situations. Yeah. And we need a guide.
Yeah.
We need a leader. That is why God has placed you there as the shepherd. You are there as a pastor, not just to have a title. There are people looking up to you, sir. There are people looking up to you. There are destinies in your hands. Don't just walk about with a title. Don't just strut around just brandishing titles and brandishing names and so on. Get to the work of a pastor. Get down to the work of a shepherd. Go and lead them. Lead them to pray. Guide them in the things of God. You know, that takes me to the third point. The third point in this chapter, it says, a shepherd must guide his sheep through wilderness situations. Wilderness. What is it? In Psalm 78, verse 52 to 54, which is the scripture Bishop uses here, he says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of the mountain with which his right hand had purchased. So that is it right there. Our sheep, our members enter into wilderness situations.
That's right.
And if you are not careful, you will lead and leave them to just take care of themselves. But the Bible says that when God was in charge, he led his flock through the wilderness. You are in charge. You are in charge. And you must lead your members through the wilderness. You know, I want to give you the meaning of the words lead.
Yeah.
Lead.
Yeah.
The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines lead, to lead, the verb to lead, as to guide on a way, especially by going in advance.
Wow. Especially by going
especially by going in advance.
That's lovely.
So a shepherd cannot ask his sheep to go along any path that he has not been on and has not even gone ahead. Bishop Kobe, these are the shepherding deficits God is correcting in us. The reason why our members and our sheep don't have any sense of direction is that shepherds are not doing their leading well. They are armchair shepherds who sit in their armchairs and issue out instructions. But he leads means that he is actually doing the same thing and even a senior in that thing. Yeah. It is in that context that you are even mandated to lead.
To lead, yeah.
To lead also means to direct on a course or in a direction.
Beautiful.
You know, and the definition of guide, to guide is to direct, supervise, or influence, usually to a particular end.
Wow.
I'll take it again. To guide. Are there people watching?
Yes.
Are you in the studio?
Yes.
To guide means to direct, to supervise, or influence, usually to a particular end. So that is what a shepherd must know. First of all, that a shepherd must know the end you are taking the members to.
Wow.
Yeah. A shepherd must not be somebody who has no knowledge of where he is going,
right,
what he is doing. No, yeah. A shepherd is a very special person.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of Matthew 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the multitudes.
Yeah.
The King James Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Do you see?
Yeah.
So where there is no shepherd, there is
scattering,
directionlessness, and there is fainting, no energy to move on. And that is why I want us to look at this verse with in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep
without
a shepherd. When a shepherd doesn't work well, his sheep are confused. And they are helpless. Let's look at it from the contemporary English version. CEV. It says, when he saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them. When Jesus sees our members, he feels sorry for them. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Look at the Living Bible. The Living Bible, TLB. And what pity he felt for the crowds that came. Because their problems were so great. And they didn't know what to do. Or where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, clap your hands. You can clap. You know, I bet you've never understood your work as a shepherd. You are important by the grace of God.
Oh, yes.
You are important. Without you working well and being there, your sheep won't know where to go and won't know what to do. So when you see sheep who are lost, who don't come to church, who are disoriented, who are confused, don't be too quick as a shepherd to point to them that they are carnal or they are not serious or they are whatever. Know that you are a representation of a failed leader.
Yeah.
It's when shepherds fail that sheep become confused and disoriented. It's when shepherds fail that sheep don't know where to go. So anybody watching, your members are looking to you for the next step to take. You must be there to show them the next step to take. If you are a pastor, you are a shepherd, sit up. Your work is not just preaching. Your work is not just logoing people onto buses. forgive the Greek I just said, for those of you in Zimbabwe. Your work is not just to, I don't know what you are doing. That's why a shepherd must be a certain type of person. Because people depend on you. Sheep depend on you. So Bishop Kobe, that is the work we have to do to guide and to lead.
And Bishop, you are so right. I mean, as you speak, it's more and more it's dawning on me that the responsibility of a shepherd is huge.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we are not called just to guide and lead people in spiritual things alone.
No.
In church activities alone, which is what a lot of shepherds do. Because beyond church activity, there's nothing else. I can guide you to do your outreaches. I guide you to come to church. I guide you to attend my meetings. But beyond that, there is nothing much.
That's unfortunate.
But there's none of these scriptures that gives any scope. It's about the shepherd's life.
The life.
The total life of
the
shepherd.
The total life of the sheep.
And
if you are a shepherd, like Bishop Kobe is saying, your work is not just limited to the church.
No.
In any case, how many hours do we spend in the church?
The real life.
The real life is out there.
It's out there.
So you have to be out there with them. Be with them in their homes.
Yeah.
Be with them in their offices.
Yeah.
Visit them in their schools.
Yeah.
See how they do at home.
Yeah.
That is the work of a shepherd. A shepherd is not just somebody who teaches people to pray and to do outreach. They are lives. See, when we come to God, we don't only give God our Sundays.
Yeah.
We give God our entire life.
Yeah.
So a shepherd must be there for our entire life.
Yeah.
Yes. If you are a shepherd, you are a pastor, and your mind is that you are just there to teach the person how to have his quiet time. Of course, knowing the word of God impacts your life anywhere and everywhere. But you must extend your existence in the person's life beyond the borders of the church.
Yeah.
Wherever they are, you must be there. That's why the template of shepherding by Jesus is seen clearly, at least in the Gospels. He was there with them in the synagogues. He was there with them in the meeting places. But he was also there at the well. He was there in their homes. He was there in the marketplace. He was there by the beach. Wherever human beings were, he was there in the wilderness. He was there. Wherever people were, Jesus was there.
Yeah.
And that is the point. And that, I want to go to the fourth point.
Yeah.
It says, a shepherd must lead his people like a flock. Psalm 77, verse 20. Said, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Once again, there are a lot of lives in your hands, Master Shepherd Man. There are a lot of lives in your hands. You can't pick and choose who you want to shepherd. If there are 100, you can't care for 99.
Yeah.
If one is lost, you have to go and look for that one. So I think I can already even see in the studio, people are uncomfortable. They are feeling, people are feeling uncomfortable. And that's the way it ought to be. Yes. It's true. We must not be at ease in Zion. As Bishop Oedipo will say, if you are at ease in Zion, Zion will ease you out. So a shepherd must not be at ease. I'm saying it again. I said something I want to repeat. If your sheep are 100, sir, you cannot take care of 99. One, even one, and everyone, and every sheep. I'm talking to those of you who care for new converts, who decide who to visit. I'm coming home. Yes. I just saw one of them in the studio and the person is looking up. I'm sure she's wondering where. If if your sheep are 45, you care for how many?
45.
If your sheep are 13, you care for how many?
13.
If your sheep are 90, you care for how many?
90.
That is the work. You lead the flock. And the flock is the flock.
Beautiful. Just one quick thing that I want you to help us with, Bishop, before I take some questions from the studio audience. Point number one and two talk about still waters and green pastures. Now, I want you to help us a little bit. When we say still waters, green pastures, what are we talking about? Because I'm quite sure that it's not left to our imagination.
Oh.
It must mean something specific.
Wow. So let's go back to the verse. Let's see the
Psalm
verse.
Psalm 23, verse 2.
Psalm 23, verse
yes.
2. The Lord, verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Let's start from the top. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me
beside
the still waters. So, right there, that is the work of a shepherd. And number one is that green pastures. Let's start. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What are green pastures? Green pastures stand for, so when you say pastures or pasture land, it is the land on which sheep graze. So that land obviously will have the grass. That's why David said green pastures. So it's an expanse of land where the sheep go and they graze. So green pastures stands for the food. The food. If you are a shepherd, I hope somebody is listening.
Yes.
If you are a shepherd, you must make, see, your one of your assignments is to guide your members in such a way. See, I've seen a picture of a pasture land. You can put it up for the audience to see.
Green pastures. That's beautiful.
This is green pastures.
That's beautiful. I mean, I don't eat grass,
yes.
But it's beautiful.
Yes, you even feel like eating the grass. Yes. Do you see? Now, green pastures stands for the food the sheep eat. And notice that he says, he makes me to lie down. To lie down in green pastures means to be comfortable.
Beautiful.
And to be at ease, to be relaxed.
To be relaxed.
Oh, I
feel
like
free of danger, free of threats. Beautiful.
To be relaxed where the food is.
Mm.
That's quite the opposite of what we see today.
Oh.
Because we Christians, what is our grass? The word of God.
Mm.
The food we eat is the word of God. And a shepherd must raise his sheep in such a way that the sheep is comfortable in God's word.
Wow.
Like that he's in the word, eating the word, loves the word, enjoys the word, to lie down.
That's not the case.
I mean, literally, yeah. We must have our members lying in their beds,
yeah.
Reading their Bibles,
and
happily catching revelations from the Living Bible, from the Contemporary English Version, from the Easy to Read Version, from the New Living Translation, from the Message. They are comfort. They are lying down. That's a shepherd. That's a shepherd right there. You must make your members lie down. But is that the case with your shepherd? No. They don't even have Bibles. Your members don't even have Bibles. But when God was a shepherd, he made the sheep lie down in the place where their nourishment came from. Our food that we eat is the Greek, is the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16, that popular verse. Yes, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That is, the word brings joy. You are excited. You are happy. It says, for I am called by thy name, O God. But notice it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. So we don't eat green grass. We eat the word. And a shepherd must make his sheep lie down in the word. A lot of the word.
So a lot of our sheep are malnourished.
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 I'm quite surprised that we, our sheep even come to church. No, I'm quite surprised that they even have an interest. They must be coming to church for another reason. Maybe the bus is seen as a tourist bus, or maybe the church is nice. The church is nice. They want to come and see the light. No, because our members, the typical member in a typical church is a lifeless dead body. I'm telling you. In green, please take me to verse 2. I feel like teaching right there. Yes. Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. S. Pastures, plural. That is, there must be a lot of the word around your member. The word in video form, the word in audio form, the word in a book form, the word in a Bible form, the word in the translation, the word here in green pastures. That is, when we say green pastures, it is the grass the sheep eat. And our grass is the word. Yeah. Thy words, thy pastures, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Then the second is, he leadeth me beside the still waters. What are still waters? Still waters, first of all, sheep were not supposed to drink from running water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what shepherds did was that they dammed any flowing river so that the water would be still. Because when sheep are drinking and the water is running, is flowing, they can actually get distracted. Sheep are very tender. They can actually fall into the river and be carried away.
Yeah.
So sheep do not like water that is disturbed.
Yeah.
They like still, the water to be still. Now, what is the water for us as sheep? The water is clear. The water is the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37.
Wow.
The Bible says that on the last day of the feast, Jesus Christ stood up and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38. And it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. Look at verse 39. Let's end it well. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the water he was asking them to come and drink was the water of the Spirit. That is why, and you as a leader, a shepherd, must lead your sheep beside still waters. That is spirituality. Your members must have the Spirit. Do they speak in tongues? Are they spiritual? Do they have the Holy Ghost in them? That's why Paul was alarmed in Acts 19 when he met disciples who didn't have the Spirit.
He asked them,
have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
We
have not even heard that there's anything. And he was so alarmed. You know, so I want to say to us that still waters is the spirituality dimension.
Beautiful.
As a shepherd, your work is to make your members spiritual. Spiritual. They must have the Holy Ghost. You must be concerned that your members cannot be convicted by the Holy Spirit. They can sin without any conviction. They can absent themselves from church without any conviction. They can follow unbeliever friends without any conviction. So in summary, green pastures and still waters, the word of God and the spirit. How do we know? Look at John 3 verse 5. John 3 verse 5. It's a very important scripture I want to share with you as we end. John 3 verse 5 says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So water, the water and the Spirit, the word and the water and the Spirit must be top on your mind. So, Mr. Shepherd man, Mr. Pastor man, your hands, I don't know whether there's blood on your hands. You are not somebody who is free to attend parties, eat anyhow, watch TV. Your members, their destinies and their lives are literally in your hands. Lead them beside still waters. Make them to lie down in green pastures. Then your shepherding work would have been complete.
Beautiful. Lovely. Well. I can see our time slipping fast. The time is becoming something. I don't know whether it's sabotage somewhere. But if you've just joined us, this is the Art of Shepherding chat room. And we've been having a fantastic conversation about the shepherding assignment of leading and guiding. Psalm 23 and from verse 2. And if you've just joined us, you really missed a huge revelation. You ought to go back and check it out. You don't want to miss this one. But I want to at this time ask you to sow a beautiful seed into this work that we're doing. This is the work of God, and the work of God requires resources to drive it and everything. So this Art of Shepherding chat room requires you to sow a seed, whichever country you're watching from. I'm going to put up some numbers very soon. They're up on your screen. For those of you who are in Ghana, there's a number above. I want you to sow a powerful seed. I mean, do it now, like as you're watching now. And I'm watching the studio audience also. But I want you to sow a seed now. Take your phone, sow a beautiful, beautiful seed. You've enjoyed lots and lots of powerful revelations, teachings. Sow a seed and let this work be supported and be held. But more importantly, let it be a point of contact between you and the anointing that is flowing through this program. Let it be a point of contact, a seed you are sowing, believing God for something in your ministry and believing God for something in your shepherding. And I know that I'm speaking to spiritual people, so I want to encourage you now to sow a beautiful seed. If you are outside the country, you should be using the number that's at the bottom. You see international giving there. The name you see on it is Lauren Boati. Don't be afraid. That's okay. That's the number to use. Sow a beautiful seed. Do it now as I'm talking. You shouldn't be. I'm surprised that you haven't sown your seed yet. Sow the seed. The numbers are still up. Sow a beautiful, beautiful seed into this beautiful work. And I believe that God will bless you and you will reap what you ought to. Well, I'll take a quick break. And then when I come, I'll give the studio audience an opportunity. We'll try and squeeze in as many questions as we can. It is a chat room, so, you know, it's a two-way thing. So let's take a break and I'll be right back.
Travel with me along the hillside and the sheep ranches as we discover together what true shepherding is. Psalm 23, literally coming alive. The Art of Shepherding by Dag Heward Mills. The pages of this book contain detailed and carefully selected instruction vital for your success as a shepherd of God's flock. This is the book you've been waiting for, an extensive exposition of the sheep, the shepherd, the shepherd's heart, and ministry realities. In this book, Dag Heward Mills draws from his over 30 years' experience as a shepherd to share practical insights into the work of the ministry. Get your copy of The Art of Shepherding by Dag Heward Mills online at dagheawardmillsbooks.org. Also available now in audio version on speakthewordaudio.com. The Art of Shepherding by Dag Heward Mills, your guidebook on your exciting shepherding journey.
All right, you're welcome back. This is the Art of Shepherding chat room. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the shepherding assignments of leading and guiding the sheep, and it's far, far deeper than even I thought that it was. I'll be honest with you. If you've just joined us, I want you to go back later on, watch the program. You need to really, really hear the things that we have heard. But we have a few questions in the studio, and I want us to start with our sister Delphine. She has a beautiful question. Let's hear the question from our sister Delphine.
What should be the shepherd's greatest responsibility in leading and guiding a sheep?
Yeah, I think that is a very good question. The shepherd's greatest responsibility is to ensure that he or she does what God did when he was a shepherd. What did God do when he was a shepherd? Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So that is it. The greatest responsibility of a shepherd is to make sure that his or her sheep do not lack anything. Yes, do not lack anything. That is why you must be a shepherd is an embodiment of resourcefulness.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about giving them money or needing shoes and needing cars. You yourself as a shepherd, don't you have needs? Yes. But a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's not life. Life is not shoes. Life is not. Then Jesus failed. Then his disciples failed. I shall not want means that you don't lack the essentials of life. God is the essential of life. The word of God is essential. The Holy Spirit is essential. His wisdom, his light, God's presence. If you give someone God, I mean, 40 years ago, a 16-year-old girl gave me Jesus Christ. Through Christ, I have the things I have. She never gave me a car. She didn't buy a shirt for me. She didn't buy a wristwatch. All she did was to give me Christ. And through Christ, I have a wristwatch. Yes. Through Christ, I have a pair of shoes. Jesus is enough. I shall not want is not about not wanting houses or stocks and bonds or shoes and perfumes. They are essentials and they are important. But let's get it straight. If God is your shepherd and you have, he said, the silver and the gold and the cattle
on 1,000 hills,
they are mine. So I shall not want means that you must have God himself. If you have him, you have access to everything he has. But what do we have in church today? We have church members who have the pastor but don't have God. Who have the church but don't have Christ. I believe that I shall not want is not just about not wanting money, not wanting houses. I mean, is there an end to your needs? We every day want something. Even when it's in your mouth, you are still desiring something else. So we are not talking about rice and stew. We are talking about the Holy Spirit, God, his word, his wisdom, and that is the source of all the other things you need, if it is God's will for you to have them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Bishop. We have a second question from Dennis. Dennis.
I'm Dennis.
Good.
Bishop, you made mention of a passage in Matthew 18 where Bishop, where Jesus says, a man had 100 sheep. I really want to know, how can a shepherd practically care for 100 sheep? Thank you.
Wow, that's a good question. One shepherd caring for 100 sheep. Well, you must first of all know, I think I've said it already, that if you have 100 sheep, you need to really care for the 100 sheep. So one of your responsibilities is to know that, number one, the 100 sheep are made up of individual sheep. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. So you need to know each one. It's important. Each one. Number two, we've learned that he leads us in the wilderness like a flock. So a shepherd must learn how to lead a large group of people, a large number of sheep, as well as caring for the individuals that make up the number. So then we come to how you can care for the individuals. 100 sheep is a lot of sheep. Do you see? But that is why a shepherd must be prayerful. A shepherd must have time for the sheep. A shepherd must have love for the sheep. And a shepherd must value the sheep irrespective of what it is or what problems exist in the sheep or do not exist. So how do you care for 100 sheep? You care for 100 sheep by caring for 100 sheep. By caring for the individual sheep that make up the number. And also having in mind that you are also in charge of a flock. And you go for the flock as well.
Our next question comes from our brother Michael.
Thank you, Bishop. Bishop, in real life, the typical picture we see is that a shepherd tends for his flock. Now, when it comes to the ministry and then the house of God, should a shepherd behave the same way?
Like one shepherd.
So in real life,
like you see one shepherd.
Yeah, a single shepherd
tending his flock of sheep.
Okay.
Yes. So when it comes to the house of God, should a shepherd behave the same way? Thank you.
I think, so your question looks more at the fact that a shepherd is standing alone.
A shepherd standing alone. Well,
looking after his flock.
Yes, you are the shepherd, you know, and you are standing alone as a shepherd, do you see? But there are also ways to care for the sheep. Now, when Jesus was a shepherd, first of all, number one, when God was a shepherd, in Jeremiah 3:15, he shepherded us with pastors. That's number one. God the shepherd says, I've given you pastors after my heart. So a shepherd has under shepherds. That's number one. If you look at Psalm 77, for instance, verse 20, which is in chapter 20, talking about how God leads his flock. Psalm 77, verse 20 says, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. By the hand of Moses and Aaron. So Moses and Aaron were under God as a shepherd. Even Moses himself, who was the physical leader of the nation Israel, crossing with them, had Aaron. I mean, the Bible mentions Aaron as somebody who was with Moses. So a shepherd must also have his Aaron. So that picture of a shepherd with his staff is just a picture. Yes. You must have under shepherds. That's why somebody was asking about 100 sheep. If by your, you know, life and the demands on your life, 100 members are a lot, which is a lot. 100 is a large number. What do you do? Number one is that you must have shepherds under you. The Jeremiah 3:15 model. You must have an Aaron, a big assistant. So I'm asking shepherds, who is your Aaron? Where are the the pastors under you? Where are the shepherds under you? If you read Numbers 11, verse 17, when God was using Moses to lead the people, he said, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So a shepherd must not stand alone. Yes. A shepherd must not stand alone. Yes. A shepherd must not stand alone. 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 You must have your Aaron. And this Numbers 11, 17, I'm sure you know how many people came to stand by Moses. 70 elders. So I want to say to you as a shepherd, Mr. Shepherd Man, you can't be a lone ranger. There's nothing like one man thousand in shepherding. A shepherd must have Aarons, must have other under shepherds, and you must have till you've got 70 people who are under you working. I pray for you that God will bless you with 70 elders, 70 helpers, 20 helpers, 10 helpers, 40 helpers. May your ministry grow till you have large numbers of shepherds working under you as under shepherd. Then you would have become the chief shepherd. Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's lovely. We'll take our next question from our sister Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. Good. So, Bishop, you touched on point 3 of this chapter, which says, a shepherd must guide his sheep through wilderness situations. And the supporting scripture is Psalm 78, verse 52, which I want to read. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So, Bishop, I'd like to know, how can I, as a shepherd, guide my sheep through a wilderness situation? And first of all, what is a wilderness situation?
Wow, that's a professor, right? Yeah. So, thank you for that question. He led them as a flock through the wilderness. So notice the word. She's asking what a wilderness situation is. And note the word wilderness. A wilderness situation is any situation that causes bewilderment. Wilderness bewilders. When you are bewildered, you are confused. You are agitated. You are in a difficult situation.
Difficult.
And our members encounter wilderness situations. They have problems with their education. How to pass that math paper that she has attempted 6 times. Yes. I am 32 years old. I'm working. How do I practically get a beloved?
Practically.
Yeah, that's a wilderness situation. Yes. I've gone to borrow somebody's yams to sell. They are not being bought, and the yams are getting rotten. That's a wilderness. So a wilderness situation causes bewilderment. And David described a wilderness situation in Psalm 23. He said, though I walk, verse 5, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's verse 4.
Yeah.
So there is a valley of the shadow of death for a sheep. Mr. Pastor Man, your members, they come nicely dressed. They come looking good. but they are going through things. And you will never know till you are close to them.
Yeah.
So my answer to you, Stephanie, is that a shepherd guides the sheep through wilderness situation the way God shepherded David when he was in the valley of the shadow of death. What did God do? Let's look at the English in verse 4. Let's see verse 4. What did God do? Yea, though I walk through the valley. And most of the valley of the shadow of death, they walked into it. Yes. Normally, I said that sheep go astray. Yeah. A lot of the valley of the shadow of death, a lot of the wilderness situations, they walked into it. He ignored you and went to Belovedere's that girl. And she is peppering him. Yes. Remember, though I walk, but a shepherd doesn't say, you went and walked in the valley of the shadow of death, so I'll have nothing to do with you. No. Though he walks into the valley of the shadow of death, he won't fear because he knows his shepherd will be with him. Yeah. Even in their bad choices, a shepherd does not abandon the sheep. Even in their bad choices, you must be with them. That's sheep. That's, you said don't go, and she went. You've got to be there. You must be there. Now, let me end by just saying that, back to Stephanie's question, what do you do when they are in the wilderness situation? Be there with them. That's all, Stephanie. Don't see yourself as Batman or Superman. You see, the presence of a shepherd does not take away wilderness situations.
Yeah.
A shepherd is just supposed to be with the sheep in the situation. I'll take it again. Don't think that God has called you to end wilderness situations for people or to end valley of... It's God who is taking people through, teaching them through their bad choices, through their life's choices, and through many situations they find themselves in these things. Yours is not... I mean, if it is financial, what do? Are you going to take a loan for the member? If it's financial, if the person needs accommodation, are you going to build a house for the person? If you can, you build. If you can, you rent, you help the person. But a lot of the problems just require you being there. Just be there. Just be there. And your presence is, of course, if you can help, the little money, a little food, a little whatever, but your presence is an overarching resource for anyone who is going through a difficult situation. That's why when Job was having his issues, his friends, they just came to sit there. They didn't say anything for a long time. They just sat with him. So, pastor, there are times you must advise, you must counsel, you must give your help, and so on. But the biggest one, look at it carefully. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. Why? For thou art with me. He is with me. Just being with the person is enough. And a lot of things will end with time. But be there with the person and chaperone the person, guide the person, lead the person, and help the person go through. One man of God, Robert Schuller, the pastor of the Glass Cathedral, he wrote a book, and the title of the book was How to Go Through the Going Through Stages. Yes. How to go through the going through stages. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear, for thou art with me.
Lovely. All right. We'll see. We have
Can I take maybe one or two more questions? Margaret. Margaret has a question.
Hello, my name is Margaret. And Bishop, please, I want to know, is it okay for a shepherd to expect a sheep to lead or guide himself in certain situations alone?
That's a very, very deep question.
That's a very interesting question.
Because there are certain situations where, especially if you are a member of the opposite sex, you see, let's start it. A shepherd cannot abandon his sheep. A shepherd doesn't abandon his sheep. That's number one. You must be with the sheep. But being with the sheep, especially when people need comfort, you must be very careful. Yes. If you are not careful, you may overcomfort. Yes. It's very, very important. And your responsibility as a shepherd is not to abandon the sheep, but to allow yourself to help, to be there with the sheep. Now, having said that, I want to say also to all pastors and shepherds watching, to be there with the sheep in their problem does not mean you must just intrude. Please, I want to take it again. You are required to be there with your sheep as they go through their issues. But it doesn't mean, we're talking about leading and guiding. You can't break in. You enter into your sheep's life to the degree that they open the door for you to come in. Very important. Some sheep want their privacy, and you must respect their privacy. You must respect it. Some of them may not even tell you what they are going through.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may hear it from someone that, oh, sister so-and-so is going through a problem. You can call. That, oh, I've heard this. What is going on? The person may want to open up. The person may not want to open up. But the underlying principle I'm bringing out in shepherding is that the fact that you are a pastor or a shepherd does not allow you to just break into somebody's life because he has an issue. You just enter and take over. No. Actually, the Bible does not even teach that. Rather, the teaching in the Bible is that sheep must invite the shepherd into their lives. Yes. James says that, is any sick?
Any sick.
I think James 5.
James 5, yeah.
If you can find the scripture, I want to use it to teach before we end. This may be our last question. James 5, yeah. It said, verse 14, is any sick among you? That is a member sick? And look at what he's saying, James. Let him call for the elders. Let him call for the elders. And let them pray over him. So it's the sick person who calls for the elders. Yes. That is it. Because not every sheep wants an intrusion of his privacy. That's why the Bible says that even when somebody is sick, in the sickness, the person think of Jesus. There is no instance where Jesus had word of knowledge that somebody was sick and just entered into a person's house, opened the door. He was always called. Jairus called, the centurion called, Peter called, everyone, the blind Bartimaeus called. So you as a shepherd must enter the sheep's life to the degree that they allow you in. Some of them will allow you unfettered access into their life. Come in and take over. You go in and you take over. Some will open just the door to the balcony. Stay there. Some will open the door to the living room. Stay there. To the degree that you are allowed, you go in. So a shepherd does not leave his sheep in crisis, but also he must allow the sheep to allow him or her the access into their lives to help with their life situation. That is what I have to share with
beautiful,
you.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And I guess it's the example we have from Jesus in Revelation 3:20. He says, if you open the door, he's knocking.
I stand at the door and knock. No, so Jesus is not an armed robber.
No, no, no.
And a shepherd must not be an armed robber. A shepherd does not break in. Don't add your members' house to your breakthroughs.
Wow, beautiful.
Don't add your members' house or their lives to your breakthroughs. How and to the degree that they allow, they are all, a shepherd knocks and the sheep opens and he enters.
Beautiful. Well, it's been, I mean, tonight has been heavy. It's really been heavy. And I believe that this is all we have time for. We can't take any more questions. But tonight, before we go, I want you to do something for me. You've enjoyed a beautiful program. And I believe that this program is blessing many, many people across the world, shepherds, pastors, and anybody who's looking after God's flock. And I want you to sow a seed and support this good work. Also, I want you to sow a seed because I want you to connect yourself to the anointing that is at work in this program. There is an anointing at work, whether you realize it or not. I'm sure that as you hear the teaching, you can tell that a certain teaching anointing is at work. There's an anointing in the book which you can connect yourself to. There's an anointing in the teachings which you can connect yourself to by sowing a good seed. So I'm going to put numbers up on the screen now. If you are watching us from Ghana, your numbers at the top. You know how to send your mobile money. I want you to sow a seed now. Now, as I'm speaking, don't wait to do it later. Do it now. And if you are watching us internationally, your number is at the bottom. You see international giving. It's got the name Laureen Boateng, but that's fine. That's how the number should be. I want you to really sow a seed. I want you to connect yourself to the wisdom that God has sent to his people through the book, through Bishop Dagiod Mills. I want you to connect yourself through a seed to the teachings that Bishop Edwin has been giving us. And I believe that your life and your ministry will be blessed. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll see ourselves off. So this is the Art of Shepherding chat room, and tonight we've been having a fantastic conversation about the shepherding assignment of guiding and leading. And if you've not watched it, or you're just joining us, or joined us late, you have missed a lot. So you ought to go back and you ought to watch it. But tonight, before we sign off, I want to ask Bishop Edwin, as usual, to leave us with a prayer. You know, today's conversation has opened my eyes to the size and the weight of the shepherding work. And I think that today more than ever, we need the prayer. Today more than ever, we need the prayer to be able to shepherd people the way God is expecting us to do. So, Shabadu, if you pray with us and with every shepherd across the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would like us to close our eyes. I want to pray. I want to pray for the brand new shepherd, the experienced shepherd, the one with few sheep, the one with a lot of sheep, every type of shepherd. Lord, I pray for convictions to be released.
Amen.
Convictions. Convictions in our hearts to prod us into activity.
Amen.
Convictions based on knowledge to guide us to do the work the way we ought to do it. Father, forgive us for our past omissions. Have mercy on us. And through today's teachings, we pray that you will grant us the mercy to start afresh.
Amen.
To do it well.
Amen.
Even those who have an excellent ministry, may we have even a more excellent ministry.
Amen.
In the care of our sheep.
Amen.
I pray that you will anoint every single person under the sound of my voice. For it is the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Amen.
It is the anointing that makes this work possible. I pray in the name of Jesus that you grant us favor before men.
Amen.
The helpers, the help we need, and the people to stand by us to do this great work. Lord, touch our hearts.
Yes.
Tune our hearts.
Yes.
Tweak our hearts.
Yes.
Grant us the heart to do this work with joy.
Amen.
According to Deuteronomy 28:47, with gladness and with joyfulness of heart. For the abundance of all things. Lord, I pray that every shepherd here will begin to see an increase in his sheepfold. Multiplication in numbers. Multiplication in the quality of the lives of the members. Lord, may shepherding become a joy from now on. May shepherding become a delight from now on. Take away the drudgery. Take away the difficulties. Take away the pain and the things that stand in our way. And let your power compel us to care for the sheep. Put love in our hearts. Love for the sheep. Love for your word. Love for knowledge. Love for insight. Love for the guidance we also need. And I pray, Lord, for every shepherd here, that we will be under the guidance of a senior shepherd, from whose guidance will also guide our sheep. From whose leadership will also lead our sheep.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the resources of your word, of videos, of messages, of podcasts, of books, of teachings, of church services. Cause us to swim in these blessings and cause us to enjoy these as delicacies. Like Jeremiah said, like we'll eat them with joy. And we will enjoy this as actually the bread we need to eat and the meat we need to eat to care for the sheep. Bless the work of our hands. Bless our churches. Bless our fellowships. Let joy come in. Let your spirit flow. Let our members know you. Let our members know the Holy Spirit. Let our sheep be spiritual. Grant us the grace and the power to get this work done. For none can do this except you help him. And we receive your help as our greatest mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Bishop Edwin. It's been fantastic spending time with you. And for those of you who are watching, well, this is the end of the road. This has been the Shepherding Assignment of Leading and Guiding. I want you to get the book, The Art of Shepherding, and I want you to read it on your own, study it, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and let it influence your shepherding and the work of ministry that you're doing. The studio audience has been fantastic. Thank you to all of you who have watched from every country, Nigeria, India, Philippines, the United States, UK, Ghana, everywhere that you've watched from. I want you to make it a point to catch us same time every week. But in the meantime, I want you to like all our socials. You can find us on YouTube, on Facebook, Art of Shepherding Chatroom. Just search for that. Like this stream, share the stream, and make it a point to join us same time next week. Until then, God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Thank you.